Brothers, sisters, comrades, and friends, welcome once again to Bad Country.
Hello.
Hello. I love that you put perfume on.
Yeah, for the... Well, we're recording, you know? Yeah. I want it to smell good for the camera. Bit of a change of pace today, huh?
Yes, it is.
So we're going to commit a sobriety podcast to video... Vodcast? Is that...
No, it's got vodka in it. No, don't say. A SoCast? No.
I do like that. Sobercast?
This did so long. It's got too many letters.
Soapcast.
I'll go with that.
There's something in there. I'm going to have to... For the next episode, I'll have to think of something very clever.
I mean, you are a marketer, so...
I do the words.
I'm sure you can come up with something.
This podcast is about sobriety... in which we look for stories around the world relating to conflict and relationships and with sobriety as a main driver of it all. My name is Stuart Soberus Maximus Nugent, and my lovely co-host tonight is...
Hi, this is Rima, and that is definitely not his real name. That sounds like he goes to Hogwarts. He doesn't. He's not cool enough. But so we're both sober, which is fun and good and nice. You know, every day you go to bed at 10 p.m., have a job, have responsibilities, hit the gym, that kind of thing. But we also run another podcast. And since we're both sober, we figured we quite never have talked about our sobriety. Probably because it's not really, you know, a fun topic to discuss sometimes. And we usually want to keep our other podcast very lighthearted. And not, you know, drag our trauma and problems and, you know, all the bad shit that addiction can cause into that podcast. So we'll just deal with that here.
Yeah. Welcome to Stu and Rimmer's Trauma Dump. .com.
I need to buy that URL real quick. No, I wonder if this is the Trauma Dump for free. What's going to be on Patreon?
Oh, shit.
I do think joking about addiction and alcoholism is good because it's a very difficult subject matter for me to talk about. And I feel like kind of making light of it a little bit makes it easier.
Yeah, me too.
And I feel like I am allowed to do so.
Well, communication is healthy, right? And talking about this kind of thing in any form is generally good. I should stress we're not sobriety or recovery experts, nor are we doctors, nor is anything that we're about to discuss to be taken as medical advice. We're just people who've been through it.
I mean, you have a lot of videos now on your channel discussing your sobriety, including the things you've been through in terms of like your alcoholism and head injury and everything related. I don't really share so much about like my own struggle because it's something super personal to me and I try not to put it out there too much. But I think if we're talking about experiences, it's probably mostly going to be you.
Okay.
Sharing them. I might have some input, but I think you are much more open about this stuff than I am.
Me is my favorite thing to talk about, so I'm quite happy to do that.
We all know this, don't we?
Wow, you came out mean tonight. Fucking hell. Should we begin?
We shall. So today we have two stories. We'll see how people like this, what kind of feedback we get in general, and then, you know... maybe we'll keep making these if people like to listen to it.
Yeah, if we get fucking paid.
It's all you care about is money.
I just want to get sponsored by a coffee brand. That's all. Because I spend so much on coffee.
Imagine our sober podcast going very viral and then we have sponsors.
Oh.
Sponsors, get it? Sponsors.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if Heineken wanted to do a 0% alcohol thing, they do.
I know they do. I have not tasted it. I don't know how I feel about drinking beverages like that. But then again, I drink mocktails, so I don't know. Maybe I'm being a hypocrite. I have not tried non-alcoholic beer in a very long time. I don't know how I would feel about it.
I have.
I know you have.
It's really good. Here in Germany, where beer is like not piss water, there's one here called... Meiselweiss.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, the first time it was bought for me by a German. And I started singing, Meiselweiss, Meiselweiss, not knowing that it's actually a song about Hitler.
Good start. Okay, maybe we can start with the stories. So we have two short ones, I believe. And you're going to be reading the first one.
Okay, I'm doing it. Okay, this is called 3 weeks sober, but wife still won't trust me, ... So I'm into my 3rd week sober. Congratulations.
Good job.
I'm feeling like the withdrawal has mostly stopped. My sleep still feels messed up. But all in all, I'm doing pretty well physically. Mentally, well, that's another story. Booze is still on my mind several times a day, but I can't give in. Otherwise, all this work and suffering will be a waste. But for all my success, my wife still doesn't trust me. Every time I go out to do an errand or to just be alone, she suspects me of drinking. After a big talk last night, she confirmed this suspicion. Now, like many alcoholics, I'm guilty of lying to her, and loads of others, about my drinking, and I've gotten to be pretty good at it, sadly. But how do I regain that trust that I so selfishly betrayed? Her having faith in me is crucial to me succeeding in this. If she won't trust me in this, I will eventually fall off the wagon. So this is a person just looking for some advice. What have you got, Rima? Fix this person.
I understand. I get it. Last sentence is very problematic.
Okay, why?
Because, like, if she doesn't trust me, then I might fall off the wagon.
Ooh, yeah.
Your sobriety is yours. It's not her responsibility if you fall off the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And she can take however long she wants to trust you again. Or never trust you again fully. And that's her choice.
Yeah.
And because, having experienced someone going out and then coming home drunk after a long time of sobriety, that's going to cause some trauma. You're always going to be scared when they're out for a bit too long. Are they going to come home drunk again? It's going to take not 3 weeks. It's not even 3 months. It might take 3 years, longer than that. If it keeps happening, she might never fully trust him. She might always have that doubt if you don't get back to her in like 15 minutes that, oh my God, what if he's drinking again?
Well, he's only got 3 weeks, but I'm going to say some nice things about him in a moment. But first, I want to also say something about that last sentence. It just says, if she won't trust me in this, I will eventually fall off the wagon. That sounds like preparing to fail and to having somebody else to blame for it. So what he's doing is putting a lot of pressure on her and expecting her to forget a lot of the trauma that he's probably put her through. But then also setting her up to say, if you don't trust me, I'm going to start drinking again. So
yeah, that's a threat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a threat. That's like saying, oh, you making... I've gotten this before from someone. I used to have a rule, like in my old apartment. Not in Berlin, but this was like way before when I was living in Finland for a while. When I was trying to get sober, I was like, this is a no alcohol zone. And then I had like friends and an ex and people in general who were like, you saying that this is a no alcohol zone makes me want to drink more.
Those important points covered. Let me say some stuff in this guy's defense, right? And you'll feel free to pick holes in these arguments. Okay, so he's on his 3rd week. He's just finding his feet. There's no indication of how long he was in drink, as the police say. But let's assume that it was years. Like, it was a long time. He's past the withdrawal phase, like he thinks.
It's probably not even done.
Yeah.
It's 3 weeks. If he's been drinking for years, it's going to take a couple of months.
Right. I'll tell you my experience of this. I was going to go on and say nice things about this guy, but I'm actually not. That confidence, and right immediately after the last drink, is really dangerous. Like, I've changed my life. Nothing will ever... You know you're on camera, right? Burping into
No, but, like, it was coming out. Shut up.
All right. This guy is 3 weeks out of what I assume is quite a long period of heavy drinking. Everybody makes this mistake, is that they think that that's it. You know, they've solved the problem. 3 weeks in, I'm a new person. And now it's everybody else's responsibility to help and forgive and all of that stuff. But this guy he's preparing to fail, I think. You know, he's looking for a way out a little bit.
Yeah, and then he's looking for someone to blame, kind of like you said.
I'm glad that he got sober, obviously.
But he has to kind of recognize that his wife, nor anyone else, is responsible for his sobriety except himself.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, like, 3 weeks is not enough time to prove that you're recovered. If you, as even if you can do such a thing, which I don't think you can, but you know, like if you don't eat a kebab every night for 3 years and then go to the gym for a week and be like, ah, I'm a different person. Yeah. You've got a lot of kebab hanging over you.
And he's going to come home one day drunk, and then he's going to be like, well, you've been just spamming my phone for the last 2 weeks. How do you think that makes me feel? That's why I started drinking.
Yeah, it's all your fault. Because it's never my fault, is it? Okay, this guy is asking for help. How does he win back trust, hypothetically?
Well, he has to accept that the level of trust that she maybe had in him when they first got together, they may never be able to get back to that point. That doesn't mean that their relationship's like done for or over or bad. It can be a very happy, fulfilling relationship for both of them, but he has to recognize that she may never come back from this fully.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she wants to forgive him or not is also up to her. It's not for something that she needs to do for him. He should maybe try to think of what can he do for her in terms of, hey, I know you're having these doubts. I know that you're scared that I'm drinking again. How can I make you feel more comfortable? Like maybe if he's out all day at work and she's having that like, oh my God, if he's staying late at work, is he drinking? Like he could offer like maybe we could have a 10-minute call during your lunch break every single day. And then that might also be good for his sobriety a little bit because he thinks like, okay, well, I am going to catch up with her for a very brief moment every day. And that's like my time to actually put some effort into my sobriety.
Potentially. There is a flip side to that though. Haven't been in that position
mm-hmm.
where I would wait when I was still drinking or still very early stages of getting sober. If I had a fixed time to speak to somebody,
mm-hmm.
I would know that after that time I could drink.
That's interesting.
It was like a threshold for me, but it's dumb. It's the way the disease tricks you, I think.
Yeah.
So let's identify three things that this person can do to win back trust. And when I say this person, I mean any person. I think number one, stay sober.
Yeah.
What else? What are the two other most important things?
Like, I guess with, like, my friends and family, when they had any doubts about, like, my sobriety, I would try to just stay in touch with them as much as possible to give them some reassurance that everything was going okay. Because there were times I didn't respond for a day and they would freak out, like, oh, my gosh, she's dead. She's dead.
I had that too.
Yeah. When you're able to, when you're in a sober mindset, talk to them while you're sober.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to associate with it.
Exactly. I think he has to say that outright.
Yeah.
And say that, look, I have to take responsibility for this. I would like your support. I understand how you feel. And that's really it.
Yeah. What are the other two? We said
stay sober.
Yes.
Communication.
Yes.
Taking responsibility.
Good.
Solved.
Okay. Should I read the next one?
I just want to add, actually, before we do, that this guy is getting fucking slammed by the comments.
Oh, is he?
A lot of people saying exactly what we just said. Your sobriety should be yours. It shouldn't have anything to do with her, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of people really kicking his ass.
Someone's like, are you kidding? You have no idea what your wife went through while you were drinking. At times, she probably felt angry, confused, embarrassed, scared, lonely, sad, abandoned, and lost, to name a few. And how long did it go on? Relying on your wife for this much support is unrealistic and unfair to her. She needs support too. She is scared you're going to drink again. Once trust has been betrayed, it takes a long, long time to rebuild.
Very true.
Yeah, and then recommending AA, etc.
Okay.
No, and this is interesting because it's like, I feel like he has this very common mindset that, again, a lot of addicts have, going back to this for a little bit. I'm making it seem like, oh, I went through this and I'm sober. Oh, it was my addiction was so traumatic. I went through so much. And the fact that he's only focusing on how his addiction hurt him and not other people is also kind of a red flag in terms of staying sober.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of relate to it as well, especially 3 weeks in where I was at my parents' house when I got sober. And I remember, like, I'd be sober for 2 days and I'd be like, mm-hmm. Get off my case. I'm sober now.
It's over. Yeah.
Just forget it all. Just forget it all happened, you know. So, okay, tell me another one. Tell me another story.
It's called I Can't Stand My Boyfriend Now That He's Sober. Any immediate thoughts?
My immediate thought is an episode of Friends where Rachel's boyfriend has a drinking problem and he's a real party, he's a real outgoing guy. And they stage an intervention for him, if I remember correctly, and he gets sober and then he's really boring and they will hate him, so they start spiking his drinks and shit. That show was fucking problematic.
That is so problematic. I was never a big Friends fan. I should probably revisit that. Occasionally I would watch it, but like, that's so messed up.
Yeah. What's the title of the story?
I can't stand my boyfriend now that he's sober. I have been with my boyfriend for 11 years. He was a bad alcoholic for 9.5 of those years. I was always the dependable person who held down a job. He wasn't. I supported him emotionally and financially as he got sober. Now that he's sober and has a job, his ego is too big to handle. He's very pleased with himself. Meanwhile, the fallout from years of living with an alcoholic has hit, and I am very depressed and to the point of being unable to work. Now he doesn't want to repay the favor. He refuses to support me emotionally and does the bare minimum to support me financially. I am hurt and feel taken by him. I stood by him through courts, helped pay his fine, drove him everywhere because he lost his license, etc. And now he can't even be nice to me while I suffer from depression. It's great that he has his confidence back. However, I see the proverbial footprints on my forehead. I spent so many years with the alcoholic not knowing his true personality. Now that I see the real him, I don't like him anymore.
Ooh. Okay, so what was that? Is that a person looking for advice or just...
It's just a threw off my chest post.
Okay.
So any thoughts on that?
9.5 years is a long time for that kind of one-way traffic
mm-hmm.
of like emotional support, isn't it?
Yeah, that's gonna... She probably was able to pull that off for 9.5 years, and after that, it just hit her.
Yeah.
She's exhausted, too exhausted to work, depressed, probably not eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say about actors that they get sick after they finish filming.
Yeah.
Because they've put so much energy and effort into that shoot, knowing that they can't take a day off or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they wrap, they just collapse. And I feel like that's happened to her a little bit. Like she's ridden out the storm for so long that now it's plain sailing. She has time for herself and has slumped into depression. And then having that compounded by a person who's not sympathetic to it, mm-hmm. it's going to suck.
He probably wants her around during her good moments, but will not accept the bad moments mm-hmm. and will kind of leave. And that's got to hurt a lot because you put so many years of your life to be by his side, even at his worst. And he was probably at his worst for, 9.5 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
You still loved him. And then he won't do that for a year, less than that.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the points that she mentions specifically is that now that he's got sober, his ego is too big to manage. Do you think, is that common?
Oh yeah. Go to any AA meeting. Go to any 12-step program, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there are lots of big egos in there.
I would also conjecture that egoism is a large part of addiction, having an addictive
character. Oh yeah, for sure, because it's like that sort of selfishness and self-centeredness is a part of the illness.
Yeah. Do you think, is this the same person as the last one? He's been sober for 3 weeks.
I don't think so. They were married in the other one. These guys are not married.
She should leave him.
You think so?
I don't see another way out of it. Like, I think that there's...
What if he realizes that? What if he comes to realize that and like is like, oh shit, I really fucked up. Okay, but like, listen, 11 years is kind of a long time to think about that stuff.
Yeah, but
like, you should realize it by then.
The main complaint, I think, is that he's not emotionally supportive enough. But a long-term addiction, especially alcohol, which affects your brain so much, is that you can come out the other side as, frankly, less emotional than you mm-hmm. were when you went in. Less, you have less access to your emotions or less mm-hmm. ability to process them. So he might never get better. This might be almost a neurological problem that he's just not mm-hmm. ever going to be able to emotionally support her in the way that she needs.
Mm-hmm.
So they say the... No one is as ungrateful as the person who benefits. And it seems like he's benefiting from all of the support and mm-hmm. is completely ungrateful for it.
What do you think there is an attitude like this that addicts have? Yeah. Why are addicts always so concerned about their own well-being in the context of like their own addiction?
Okay, well, I'm not sure about other intoxicants, but alcohol in particular is a very selfish thing to do. And when you do it, at least in my experience, I was very much the center of my own world. to the exclusion of deliberate exclusion of everything else and everyone mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. Lock myself away in a room, close the curtains, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And that, I think, is a part of my general personality. Like, what I'm trying to get at is I think that people who, at least some proportion of people who end up with an alcohol use disorder are selfish to start with, mm-hmm. and self-obsessed, self-pitying. And alcohol can sometimes offer a way to negotiate that, or to medicate it.
No, that's really interesting because, like, you have that thing where you close the curtains and you grab a bottle and you're in the bed for, like, 20 hours straight with the bottle. Mm. And I've done that. I've certainly done that. Like, I've done the isolation thing. But I always also had, like, the side of myself when I was drinking where I wanted to, like, and this is never, you know me, and you know I'm not like this when I'm sober, at least. But I wanted to be the center of attention and be, like, do stupid shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was obsessed with people, like, seeing how much I could drink or that kind of thing. And I wanted people to see. So, yeah, it is a part of the disease. It's just, I guess, manifests in different ways.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that you have to address in recovery, because it's very easy to have those similar types of thoughts, even if you're not drinking, which is then a pathway to another relapse. And we're going to have to wrap up because we are very sober and it's, like, 9:30 p.m.
on a Saturday night. This is what sober people do.
And we need to go to bed to watch Better Call Saul and then fall asleep. So.
Brothers, sisters, comrades, and friends, thank you very much for listening to the inaugural vodcast? No, we didn't like that, did we?
Oh my God.
Vlog. Podcast with a video of Bat Country. Search Bat Country on YouTube or... Look, just find me. I'm out there. Please come back next time. See you soon.